Glory to God. Come on. Praise God. Were you ministered to by God's servant this morning? Let's appreciate Minister Ducey this morning. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. Glory to God. Oh, was that hot or what? Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Okay. It's good to be back home. Hallelujah. We missed all of you. Thank you. Thank you. I missed all of you. It was so good. It's so good to be back. Today is Mother's Day. Hallelujah. It's Mother's Day. So we would like to acknowledge and appreciate all the mothers in the house. So if you're a mother in the house, please, if you don't mind, can you stand on your feet? If you're a mother in the house, stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Yes. So, whether you're a married mother, a single mother, a grandmother, or an expectant mother, we want to let you know that we appreciate you. We know that being a mother is one of the most serious and difficult jobs on the earth. That's why we give you people 3 Mother's Day in a year. Fathers have only one because their work is not that important. And even the one, we don't remember it sometimes. But you deserve more than one. So we're appreciating all the mothers here today. Can we jam our hands together and appreciate all the mothers here today? Please, let's stretch out our hands to the nearest mother around you and let's speak a word of prayer over them. Father, we thank you for all the mothers in the house today. We decree over them that you will strengthen them, you will comfort them, the wisdom to continue to be excellent mothers, let it be released upon them. For all the single moms, Lord, we know that they are doing the job of 2 people. Lord, send them help, send them support, send them comfort in the name of Jesus. And for the expectant mothers in the house, we decree that by this time next year, you will have your evidence with you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Come on, let's celebrate them as they take their seats. I also want to encourage and alert everyone about our major meeting coming up in the month of July titled IWOF. I thought you would clap more than that. All right, so IWOF is our annual International Word of Faith Conference, all right? There is no other message we need like the message of faith at this time. Because of what a lot of people are going through, faith is what we use to overcome. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Are you here, somebody? So please, start planning. The date is 8th to 14th of July. If you need to take time off work, take your leave at that time, or whatever you need to do, but plan to attend. There are both morning and evening sessions. This is not the kind of thing that you plan what you will miss and the one you will attend. No, all of them are powerful. And like we mentioned, this International Word of Faith Conference. So we have a lot of people coming from the U.S. and from Canada. We have one of the greatest teachers of faith in the world, Pastor Teo Womarangs, is going to be here from the United States. Wow, this your clap is very weak. Very weak. We have Pastor Craig Field from Canada is also going to be here. We have Pastor Ike Akobogu from Abuja. He's going to be here. Then we have one of our favorite speakers, Reverend Peter Alabi, is going to be in the house. Hallelujah. If you missed last year, you don't understand why we are clapping. But you don't want to miss ministers like this. We have Reverend Tokubo Adejunwo coming in the house. Hallelujah. He's the president of Rema Bible Training Center in Nigeria. So he's actually someone that we need to listen to. And of course, we have Pastor Nkechi Ene coming. Hallelujah. Yes. The ladies have enjoyed her. Bohu, tell me again. Eh? Tohu va bohu. If you don't know what I'm saying, now who you be? That you didn't come for the last one. So make sure you come. Amazing teacher of the word. Then we have, of course, we have Pastor Kwajo Yemadik in the house. Going to be here. Amazing. You can't miss this. So plan. You need faith. Naira and dollar is not your problem. It's faith that you need. Fuel price is not your issue. It's faith that you need. It's faith. We used to say the just shall live by faith. We don't live by dollar. We don't live by government. We live by faith. And of course, this beautiful fine girl, Pastor Mildred, is going to be in the house. She is one of the finest teachers of the word and teachers of faith in this country today. The country might not know, but me, I'm telling them. One of the finest teachers of faith. And because today is even Mother's Day, I'm announcing some of her books because I witnessed her go through the journey of motherhood. I witnessed her from when she got diagnosis from doctors that she might never have children until when we got married, and 8 years into the marriage, no children truly had come. So I watched her grow from just being a normal woman that cries and beg God with desperation and think that would make God answer, to when she actually grew into faith and stopped crying and started quoting scripture. Hallelujah. When you are in faith, there's nothing to cry about. If you are still crying, you are still focusing on the wrong thing. When you have logged into faith, you know that it's just a matter of time. That's the difference between somebody waiting and somebody wasting. And when you are wasting, it's a burst of emotions. You are just shouting, God, when? You are threatening God, threatening angels, threatening your husband, threatening everybody. When you understand faith, you are now confident and relaxed. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So I watched her grow from that crying, shouting woman to somebody that tapped into faith. And she documented a lot of the scriptures and things she stood on when she was trusting God for the fruit of the womb in this book. Please, if you know anybody that is believing God for children, this Hannah's Heart devotional will help them. Scriptures that will help you if you're trusting God for the fruit of the womb. It's for both men and women. All right? Pregnancy is not only about women, okay? So the book will be available. She'll be available to sign this for anybody for a few minutes before she leaves after today's service. Then she also released her book called The Wow Man Series. Wow Man Series. Those that were here in Just Us Girls Conference already know this book, but this is the first time we're officially presenting it in church. God told her that every woman has a wow version. There's a wow version of every woman. That's why it's called Wow Man. And the Wow Man is an acronym for W is what? Womanhood. O is what? Ordination, talking about your purpose in life. The second W is what? Wife. The M is what? Mentoring. The A is what? Affluence. That's the one men like. Because now we don't want to marry poor women again. The same way women don't want to marry poor men. Who is F? We want to be rich men married to rich women. Yes, the rich husband of a rich wife. All right, so every woman has affluence. Then and the last N is what? Nurturing. So men, we're the ones that will buy this book today because it's Mother's Day. So every man, if a husband, boyfriend, fiancé, even ex-boyfriend, buy this book for your wife, compulsory. Pastor Mildred will also stay behind for a few minutes to sign this book for any woman that has been. Now, if you're a woman and there's no husband to buy for you, guess what you should do? Buy for yourself. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. So, without wasting much time, I want to invite this very fine girl to the altar today. Please welcome Pastor Mildred as she comes to bring the word. You can do better, DCC. Welcome, the mother of the house.
It's so good to be back home. I know you didn't miss me, but I missed you. And I'm happy to be back. You can't drive me. We are here. So we lock our throat together. We are here together. Please, before you sit down, I want you to please help me honor. Thank you. For those who sat down, they stood up. Thank you. I just had a moment, you know, an aha moment when I was coming up. As Pastor K was holding my hand and bringing me up, it now occurred to me that that's what he's been doing since we got married. Always bringing me up. So please help me celebrate this amazing man. Thank you. And I'm not saying it because this is what people should say or what pastors' wives should say, but marrying you has been the biggest blessing. The biggest blessing. I know I would have been a totally different person. And I also want to join him and stand on what he did before and celebrate every mother in the house. Whether you are a mother in waiting, or you already have your babies, or you are a single mother, I celebrate you, I honor you. We see the sacrifices you make, and we are grateful for you. I pray that God will bless you. And in the day where your children are celebrating, you will not be missing. In the name of Jesus. When you should be harvesting, you will not be burying your children. In the name of Jesus. Then please help me celebrate yourselves and be seated in God's presence. Amen. So, I was told I shouted a lot in first service, so I should behave myself in second service. I cannot promise that, but I will try. So, I was telling them in first service, that I'm just going to share with you, and I'm going to continue with what I was sharing in first service. I just want to share with you something that has been burning in my heart for a few months now, you know. Everywhere I look, I feel like mothers are becoming extinct. Now, I'm not talking about people that get pregnant. Anybody can get pregnant. But I'm talking about the gift and the anointing that comes with being a mother, which is the anointing of nurturing, of being able to nurture a child or nurture something until it is exactly what God wants it to be. And I was sharing also that yesterday, as we were going, we had a meeting yesterday with pastors, and then as we were going to church, Pastor K was listening to sometimes he just scrolls on social media. And so I was sitting behind him, and I was hearing what was going on social media. So he stopped on one page, and they were on a podcast. And I told them in first service, they have to ban podcasts and blenders in this country if we want to move forward. So he was on this podcast and two girls were talking. As soon as the two girls were talking, one of them said, "Oh, I lost my virginity quite late." And the other one said, "Oh, really? How old were you when you lost your virginity?" She said, 24. And I'm not even going to go into how she thinks that is late, but let's not do that. What I'm confused about is why she thinks it is all right to have that conversation on social media. And while she was having that conversation, the only thing I could think is, where is her mother? Because even at this age, there are things I will say, I will still be looking over my shoulder to see whether my mother is behind me to give me a knock. So how is it possible that someone goes on social media? Maybe you don't even have siblings. Don't you have a mother? Maybe your mother will not even do anything to you. Are you not just ashamed of embarrassing your parents? That's the conversations we have now on social media. And those are the conversations your children are listening to. And if you don't have children yet, the internet doesn't forget. It will be there when they are old enough. And so I just imagine that in some years down the line, her great-grandchildren are just scrolling on social media, and that's what they see. Because the internet never forgets. So it brings me to what I want to share with you this morning. And because I think we need to address what it really means to be a mother. I really want to bring out some mothers of the Bible. And that's, you know, that's where I learned how to, I mean, apart from my mom who mentored me, but at least I saw from scripture how mothers were. So I saw that there were toxic mothers in the Bible, but I also saw that there were mothers who did exactly what God wanted them to do. So this morning, I want to just show you a few mothers, and I want to ask you this question. Are you a mother or are you a murderer? Ask your neighbor, are you a mother or are you a murderer? You need to ask, if it's a woman, you need to ask her very well. Are you a mother or are you a murderer? And I will start with some examples of some amazing women in the Bible. I shared with them Mary and Elizabeth. I'm not going to go back to them because of time. I would suggest that you go and listen to First Service. But I want to share with you two other mothers that just totally have my heart. One of my favorite mothers in the Bible is found in Exodus chapter 2. I'll read verse 1 to 3, the Message translation. If you can give me Exodus 2, 1 to 3, the Message translation. It said, a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. So they were two godly people. The woman became pregnant and had a son. She saw that there was something special about him and hid him. She hid him for 3 months. And when she couldn't hide him any longer, she got a little basket boat made of papyrus. She waterproofed it with tar and pitch and placed the child in it. Then she set it afloat in the reeds at the edge of the Nile. Now, let me give you a little backstory. So by this time, the Israelites were in Egypt, but there arose a Pharaoh who did not remember Joseph. And so as the Israelites began to grow, which is normal for them, the Egyptians became worried that these people are growing so much. What if they rise up one day and become our enemy? So this is what we will do. We'll make slaves of them. Now, they made slaves of them, but that wasn't enough. They were still growing in numbers. So they decided, when they have girls, you can let the girls be. But when they have boys, you must throw them in the Nile. You must kill the boys. And the truth is, even though that's not where I'm going this morning, but I see that that is happening a lot. We focus so much on the girl child, that we're throwing the boys away. And everything that you see in scripture is either a prototype of what has happened and will continue to happen. So if you don't pay attention the first time, it will repeat itself. And so God is showing us that in that time, they were so focused on let's save the girls, let's kill the boys, that they were losing their men. And that's what we have happening today. I say it all the time, I'll say it again. The person you're playing with is not playing with you. Satan is not playing with you. So your son is playing with dolls. Now you're saying it's okay. It's okay. That's what social media is saying. It's okay. Your son is wearing skirts because he wants to try what his sisters are doing. You are saying it's okay. Because, look at many people. It's just skits. It's just for fun. It's not skits and it's not for fun. The skits are making it normal for you. Are you telling me that you can't be funny as a man dressed like a man? Must you be dressed like a woman to be funny? Those things have become normal. A couple of years ago, they were offensive. But now they become normal. We've even allowed it to enter the church. We find those things funny. So anyhow, that's where I'm going this morning. So they decided to kill all the little boys that were born. Then the Bible tells us that there was this woman. Her name was Jochebed. Other scriptures explain who she was. This woman saw her child and saw that there was something special about that child. This morning, I want to ask you, if you are a mother, what have you seen about your child? Because that's what makes you a mother. What have you seen about the child that God has given to you and entrusted to you? This woman saw there was something special about this child and decided this one, they don't kill this type. So she decided to hide the baby. How do you hide a newborn baby? If you've had a baby before, you know now. I've pooped. I'm hungry. I just want to sleep. I want to wake up. So there's no way you will have a newborn baby and people will not know. This woman was so courageous. She did not care that it may cost her life. She said, there's something about this child that I will not allow them to kill this child. So this woman hid this baby for 3 months. When she could no longer protect her child, the Bible says that she had to put him in the Nile. But you see, she didn't do what other people did. She didn't just toss her baby in the Nile. The Bible says that she had a boat made, a little basket that she put the child in. But that was still not enough for this woman. This woman now took tar and pitch and waterproofed the basket. Mothers in the house, I want to ask you this morning, because there will come a time when we cannot have our children with us anymore and we must release them into the world. We must release them into the Nile. Are they waterproofed? Have you covered those children with prayer and with the word? Have you covered them with the anointing? Have you introduced them to the presence of God? Are your children waterproofed? This woman knew, I can't hold this child forever. But when I'm going to release this child, and I'm going to release this child into the Nile, will the Nile enter into my child? Yes, our children must encounter the world. There's only so much you can do. You can put them in Christian nursery school, put them in Christian primary school, preserved, put them in Christian secondary school, when they decide to open preserved secondary school, put them in preserved university or ORU, put them in ORU, put all those in, but see, you can't be there with them always. There must be a time when they will go into the world. Would you also put them in Christian office? Will you take them to Christian doctor? But what you have wrapped your children in must be enough to sustain them, so that they know that they are off this, they are in this world, but they are not off this world. They must have that deep understanding. And so that's what this woman did. But that was not enough for me. This woman also trained her other children. How can only you, your firstborn, God chose him, Aaron, to be priest. Your secondborn, Miriam, to be prophetess. Then David, Moses, to be deliverer. What did this woman know, and what did she tell her children? You could even see the training from the beginning. When she released that child to the Nile, her daughter Miriam was there watching. So she must have told them that we are one, we are a family. Your children are fighting, you are saying it's okay, it's not okay. Are you a mother or a murderer? A mother nurtures. Anything you want to see in your children, you carefully nurture it, you put it inside them. And this girl followed her brother. Where her mother could not reach again, she followed her brother. When she saw that the baby went straight to Pharaoh's daughter, she got near the woman. What kind of boldness would make a little girl, who was probably 5 years at the time, go up to Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, and say, "Do you need a wet nurse? I can find you one." What manner of confidence would make a slave think it's okay to go and talk to a princess? She taught them that we are not of this kingdom. There's a certain kind of royalty that you two carry. You don't bow for anybody because God, Yahweh, is your father. See, let me tell you, you must ingrain your children or the world will. Do you know that there were other children there at the time? They could not go. So what did she teach her children? She was a mother. That woman was a mother. And God being God, God still handed her child back to her. Because Miriam had the wisdom to call her mother. And then they handed the child back to her and they still paid her on top of it. Listen, you will not miss the reward for training your children. God will orchestrate things for you that even as you are training your children, there will still be blessing attached to you. Your children will come with silver and gold. You will never look for what you need to train them. So at that time when people did not have money to buy pampers, it was royal pampers that Moses was wearing. They did not have money for school fees. Royal school fees. He went to the same school as Pharaoh's children. Why? Because one woman believed. She could have said, "Another son, I train me deny. What will I do?" She believed. So what is it about your child that God has shown you? That's what makes you a mother. I want to show you another mother that I love so much. Judges 13. I read from verse 2. Judges 13 from verse 2. It says, "At that time, there was a man named Manoah," Message translation, "from Zoar, from the tribe of Dan, said his wife was barren and childless." So they are showing us that it's not secondary infertility. She had not had a child before. "The angel of God appeared to her and told her, 'I know that you are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and bear a son. But take much care. Drink no wine or beer. Eat nothing ritually unclean. You are, in fact, pregnant right now.'" That's somebody's word. carrying a son. I said, that's somebody's word. And he said, no razor will touch his head. The boy will be God's Nazarene from the moment of his birth. He will launch deliverance from Philistine oppression. The woman went to her husband and said, a man of God came to me. He looked like the angel of God, terror laced with glory. I didn't ask him where he was from, and he didn't tell me his name, but he told me, you are pregnant. You're going to give birth to a boy. Don't drink, blah, 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 blah. And then Manoah prayed a prayer. He said, let the man of God you sent come to us again and teach us how we must raise this boy who is to be born. This woman understood that parenting is not one person's job. The minute the angel appeared to her, she didn't start saying, oh, I'm the one that hears God. She went to look for her husband and see the wisdom God gave her. Listen, women, let me say something to you. I know some of you think you are more spiritual than your husband. I'm sure you feel like you know God more because you cry when you are in service. The man will just stand. No matter the running, the undignified that you see the deer, nothing. The man just stand like this. Like Pastor M. It doesn't mean you are more spiritual. Just because it is you, the angel appeared to, does not mean you are more spiritual. Don't usurp authority. That's what Eve did to us. So she went and met her husband. And her husband prayed the most vital prayer. Because they had told her, you're going to have a child. She just went and said, I'm going to have a child. You did not ask what kind of child. You did not ask what we're going to do with this child. You did not ask how we're going to raise the boy. Nothing. You just moved. The husband said, please, let somebody who will tell us how to raise this child come back to us. And God answered Manoah's prayer. Men, I want to beg you this morning. Don't leave raising your children to just your wife. There's a balance that a father brings. Maybe you are one of those men that ran away from your responsibility. I beg you in the name of Jesus, go back and raise your children. You don't have to marry the girl, but go back and raise your children. Too many broken children today because of absentee fathers and toxic mothers. What you don't know is if you have a child with someone and you run away and leave the child with that woman, the woman is bitter. And because I know you, that child will resemble you. So every time she sees the boy, she'll be knocking you, thinking she's knocking the boy, thinking she's knocking you. You don't know the damage that children are going through in toxic relationships. He said, let somebody come back and teach us how we must raise this child who is to be born. One thing I noticed about these two women is that their husbands were supportive. How do you hide a child for 3 months if your husband is not in on it? If your husband is a coward? How do you raise a priest, a prophetess, and a deliverer if your husband is not in on it? So these two women had supportive husbands. So mothering or nurturing is not one person's job. It's not a woman's job. The Bible says God was boasting of Abraham. He said, I know Abraham. I know him. He will command his children in my ways. He will tell them, I'm not doing this thing with you. Go and get dressed. Let's go to church. Mommy will still be saying, are you tired? You don't want to wake up. Before your husband will just come and say, one, the child is up. So don't only use it when, if you don't do your homework, I'll tell your daddy. If you are not ready to go to church, I'm going to call your father for you. And father, you to stand up and be ready to go to church. Not that when you get there, I say, stand up and say, but daddy, you too, you're not. Because children talk back these days. So all those days of, I'll just tell you, children, I'll just tell you, do what I say, don't do what I do, is over. This generation will place a demand, not only on what you say, on your actions. Because children learn more from what they see than what you say. You're not praying and you want your children to pray. They will not pray. I can tell you that for free. So let me show you two mothers in the Bible that call themselves mothers. I'll share with you and I'll just round up. First one, Matthew 14, verse 6 to 11. I'm just going to jump into it. They find it. If not, it's fine. So on Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for Herod and his guests. And Herod was very pleased with her. So he promised he would give her anything she wanted. And Herodias told her daughter what to ask for. So she said to Herod, give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was very sad, but he had promised I would give her anything she wanted. So he gave her the head of John the Baptist on a platter. This girl had an opportunity to get anything she wanted in life. That's what the king promised her. Anything. But because of her mother's bitterness anger and hatred. The daughter lost out on a very important opportunity. Mothers, I want to beg you. Don't drag your children into fights that don't concern them. Don't drag them into battles they know nothing about. They don't know when you and that your friend quarreled. But don't put them in malice. We don't talk to people that are in house, in block 7. We in house 8. We in that village, we don't talk to that clan and this clan. Your children know nothing about it. You are dragging them into nonsense. This woman made her child take something that will not favor her and something that will spoil in a few days. I was sending them in first service. I can't even understand that you want to be unfortunate in life. That's fine. It's up to you. It's your choice. But why won't you now say, give us the head of John the Baptist and give her opportunities, give her houses, give her properties, give her kingdoms? You say, give me the head of John, because you are too bitter to see. As mothers, we must be very careful. We must be very careful not to drag our children into not something they know nothing about. The second murderer that calls herself a mother. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. It says, one day two women came to King Solomon, and one of them said, Your Majesty, this woman and I live in the same house. Not long ago, my baby was born at home. And 3 days later, her baby was born. Nobody else was there with us. It said, one night, while we were all asleep, she rolled over on her baby and he died. Then while I was still asleep, she got up, took my son out of my bed. She put him in her bed and then put her dead baby next to me. In the morning, when I got up to feed my son, I saw that he was dead. But when I looked at him in the light, I knew that he wasn't my son. These two women, I don't understand them, and I will never understand them. What manner? If you are a nursing mother, you know that from the day you, what am I saying? From the day you give birth, you can't sleep again. Or are you not one of those mothers that for no reason, middle of night, you just go and check whether your child is breathing? So how is it possible that you will sleep and the sleep sweets you? You stretch your body, you balance, you roll. You now roll and press your child. You didn't roll and say, hey, there's something here, move back. Even when you roll, if your body hits below, you will notice. She rolled, pressed her child. The child died. Then she woke up and the wisdom that came to her was to go to the other one too, because she too is sleeping. What? She too was sleeping. In that sleep, they moved you. They took your baby. They put another baby. You still asleep. Then you woke up in the morning. She woke up in the morning. Please, what kind of sleep is that? Then she now realized that the baby there is dead. Then she now... Shebi, all of us are saying, that's what all of us are doing. Most of us are asleep. In this generation, we are sleeping. The child that you gave birth to, is it the child you are seeing now? Smoking, drinking, womanizing, watching porn. Some of us even gave them the tab they are using to watch the porn. That's you rolling on your baby and sleeping. You gave them tab, you didn't check what they are watching. What's that? Rolling on your baby and sleeping on your child. You start out wearing them short skirts. Somebody will say, "This is it's the latest fashion." You guys don't really know fashion. It's the latest fashion. Then when the child is old enough, you now say they shouldn't wear it. Are you a? You encourage your children to go out naked. You say because it's a small child. Let me tell you something. See, if you are not careful, I don't know how to say it in English, but. Though they rotten, we say they ripe. That's what's happening with the children. The children that God has put in your hand. Begin, they spoil. You say sharp. It's not sharp, it is spoil. We have children on social media, their parents have open page. Yes, I'm coming for all of you today. I'm back to fight. Let me fight you people. Because they say I shouted in first service and no one shout. You open pages for your children on social media. And you are asking them questions. They are rude. You say, oh, this child's very sharp, very rude. They are not sharp, they are rude. The children are spoiled. This is what God put in our hand. Are you a murderer? You are killing your own child. Are you a murderer? What kind of sleep are you sleeping? The Bible says, well, while men slept, the enemy sowed tares. It's because we are not paying attention. Social media is parenting our children. The thing where social media go train, you go see them. It can never be. Do you know what saved this second woman? The Bible says she took the baby to the light. You better take your children to the light of God's word. Look at your child and say, this one. No, it not be like waiting God give me. Oh, this one will be my picking. That was what saved that woman. She was insistent that in the light, this is not my child. In the dark, it may look like my child, but in the light, this is not my child. You must insist that your children stay in the light. You must insist. The world can say anything they want to say, but you are their mother. You are their mother. And there's something about nurturing a child and carrying a child inside you. Maybe some of you didn't even carry in your womb. You carried in your heart. You adopted. But let me tell you, you are a mother. That child is your child. And when the world says this child is dead, you better take that child back into the light and say, this is not my child, because my own child is alive. I've shared this story before. I remember when I first took her to one expensive school on the island, because me too, I know the year word. Carry my child to one bed. There's nobody that not praise that school. Big scoopy, so carried my child there. The first day, does she talk? She looks like she has a learning disability. I say, this one. She's a chatterbox at home. How is she not talking? The next day again, it looks like she has a learning disability. Looks like, now I carry my pikin. I say, because the world will not call you. Because in the light, every time I look at the light, Vida in the light, my children will be taught of the Lord and great will be their peace. If God is a lesson teacher, can she not? What's learning disability? What's that? So I said, speaking over my child, you are for signs and for wonders. This, your mind is creative. When others are walking, you'll be running. When others are running, you'll be flying. When others are flying, you'll be soaring. You are not like that. A child of destiny. Child I waited 8 years for. Do you know the scriptures I've quoted over you? The leader that I'm talking about now. That one, we just stand by. Best in English, we stand. When she call her, we just stand. Why? Because I took her back into the light. I could have kept her in that school, be paying nonsense school fees, and they'll tell me my child is dead. Your child is not dead. Take your child back into the light. I don't care what you are seeing. Your child is not dead. You have to stand on what the word of God says and speak over your child every day. That's the commitment as a mother. Anything less than that, you are a murderer. Anything less than that, you are a murderer. Every time you tell your child you are useless, you will not amount to nothing. You are a murderer. A mother will speak over your destiny. There's something special about you. Let me hide you. I will hide you in prayer. There's something special about you. I do not believe you are this person. There's something special about you. Parents, let me tell you something. Not just your natural children. Even your spiritual children, your adopted children, your I don't know. You know, there are some children that just adopt you, even if you don't want to adopt them. See, something I said many years ago. I went with this. I have this journal. I still have that journal. I've had it since I got married. But that journal is for special. If your name entered that journal, it's special. You are a special case. So I used to keep that. People I would just see in church, I would just say, this person is not like this. And I'll ask God, what is it about this person? There's something special. And God will tell me, and I'll start writing things about them. A couple of months ago, I was just flipping it, and I was amazed at what prayer and confessing the word can do. When I started that journal, I don't even know, Pastor Jethro is in that journal. I showed you that journal before, Abby. Are you sure? I think I've shown you before. Maybe you don't remember. I wrote your name in that journal. And that time, my prayer was that he will enter into the fullness of his leadership. I still remember. I started praying that. Let me tell you something. God has given you children, but there's something about your child that you can only see in the light. The child may not look like it, but if you stay in the word of God, that's the light. Put your child there. He's smoking, he's drinking. Look at Pastor K. A couple of Not a couple. That year don't pass a couple now. A lot of years ago. You're not so young again, baby. Many years ago, somebody decided to look at him in the light. He may be smoking, he may be drinking, he may be womanizing. But in the light, he looks like a vessel of God. And they started praying. If you are a mother, you are an intercessor. Whether you like it or not. So this is not the time to sleep. This is not the time to rub eyeshadow. This is not the time to do lipstick and say, oh, my makeup is... See, you pray. You don't know where the sweat is coming from. You don't know whether it's sweat, tears. You don't care. You are on your knees interceding until what you see in the light becomes your reality. That woman took her child to the king and told the king, this is not my child. They were arguing there. This is your child. This is not my child. This is not my child. The king said, no problem. At the end of the day, what she confessed and stood on in faith became a reality. They gave her back the child. They will give you back your child. I said they will give you back your child. I don't know what the world has labeled your child. I don't know what Satan has put in your mind. I don't know how many bad boys you see them walking around with. But in the light, that child is a child of God. You put your children on the altar. You set fire. You put your children on the altar as a mother and you set fire. They are burnt offering. Let me tell you, when an offering is burnt, you can't stand up again. No? And you know there's some offering you can put there. Before you come to bring rope, you don't work. Huh? These ones, burnt, ashes, they rise to the Lord. They belong to him. Whatever he wants to do with them is what he will do with them. How many women this morning are ready to speak over their children? How many women are about ready to declare what they've seen in the light? I need to jump to your feet this morning. I need women that know that this child can never, never ever turn away from serving God. It may not look like it now, but I declare that in the light, this child is a servant of God. This child loves God. This child will serve God. This child will live for God. I declare that my children will talk over the Lord. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. I'm going to call my children's name. I'm not calling your children's name. Open your mouth. You are an intercessor. The same power that is in my mouth is in your mouth. The word of God in your mouth is as powerful as if it is coming from God's mouth. Declare over your children. They will not die. You will not bury your children. Your children, you and your children are for signs and wonders. Declare that God will surround them with the right people. End every negative friendship. Every lot must go. Every Ahithophel must die. Their counsel must fail. Every voice that is louder than your voice must be silenced. Declare over your children. They have seen eyes. They have hearing ears. They have hearts that understand the word. David, you will hate iniquity. You will love righteousness. Oh, my Libra, na kataye leke de de de. So the Lord has exalted you amongst your peers. In the name of Jesus, I declare over you, David, you will have a heart that is after God's own heart. Epata, braka leke de de de. Ramanda bahale ke dishe ben diakalusa. David, you will serve the Lord. Hey, kadiyamando ko shataliya neke de de de. Hey, brataka libaha neke leke de de. You will be a revelator of the word because of how your mind works. You will expound the word. Secrets, treasures in the word will be revealed to you. You will be a teacher of the word. You will serve the Lord. You are a leader. You are called to be an evergreen tree in season and out of season. You prosper. You are a leader among many. Because of you, many will come to the kingdom. You will be an inspiration to many. I declare, every spirit that is not given by God, I cast you out of my children. Every spirit of fear, out. Every spirit of laziness, out. Every spirit of depression, out. Every spirit of confusion, out. In the name of Jesus, I declare love, power, a sound mind, a well-balanced mind. In the name of Jesus, kabana kadoshata, leke ne brekelusa brahande gelegede, labratosha nakia lekede. Oh, don't stop praying for your children. You are called to be an an intercessor. That's your work as a mother. You are a nurturer. Your job is not done until your children fulfill destiny. Oh, my hand, they break a loose shatter. Reke de de bo shatter, ya le mahande.
Leka satala broso toli mande le brasis. Leka sitali braduso toli brandisiatus. Leka palabragadusa talabandis. Mande le broso toli brandisiatus. Embraduso.